So I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because.
Well, welcome back to the God School. This effort designed to put God front and center, that faith might come. Now, a phrase that long ago I put in the Bible. You know, we call the Bible the Scriptures. That word Bible comes from the Greek word biblios, which means books. And because for so many centuries, that name, Bible, has been elevated. You know, we just think, oh, God, God's voice, God's law, God's good news. If I had a chance to have any input in naming this book, which we call the Bible, and I'm not trying to overturn, all that's associated with the Bible, but I might have given it a different name. One that perhaps would give even more meaning to that book, which we call the Bible. And I would have called it God's Prospectus. Here's the reason. The definition of a prospectus is giving advanced information, calculated. I want you to understand this is not simple addition 2 + 2. This is advanced math. This is algebra, geometry. And the higher forms of math attempting to work out intricate problems, but prospectus, giving advanced information calculated to arouse interest and win support. Another word we could use for support is trust. Companies put out prospectuses. The design of the prospectus is to arouse interest and win supporters or those who trust what the prospectus says and those behind the words of the prospectus, and they support or trust these people so far as to give them money? God has revealed himself through this word, and he did it that he might win our trust, our faith. Now, to those to whom God has called, to those whom God has chosen, to those whom in his grace God has gifted faith and a better definition or word, properly translated for that Greek word pisteo, a better word is trust, not just belief, because in trust there is activity. And as we, chosen, called, gifted of God, walk through this world, which is not our home, as a couple of weeks ago, we taught on Psalm 84, you know, this journey, this road to heaven that we're on, it's not always a glorious, magnificent, never without problem journey. I want to take you to a passage, another passage, that under the gift ministry of Dr. Gene Scott, he taught on every year. And the reason he taught on it every year, it is basic to our to part of our understanding of our walk with God. And as Jesus says, to his home, which he promised that he would come and take us, that we might be with him where he is. But this journey is not without trouble. I'd like you to open your Bibles today, whenever you're listening, to the 50th chapter of Isaiah. And the 10th verse reads, "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness, and has no light?" Seems to me, this description is one who is doing the right thing, that feareth the Lord. Now, the word is yare in the Hebrew, and it means to be in awe of, to have reverence towards, who has an attitude and a frame of mind that he wants to please the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant. Ephesians tells us in the 4th chapter that God gives gifts to his church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God calls these men and women gifts to his church. And here is being described one who truly wants to please the Lord, who feareth the Lord, and is giving his ear, who is running to the voice of the sayer, who's putting importance in the highest priority, the Word of God, and that delivered by God's gifts to his church. He's, or she is, doing it the right way. And yet, it describes this one doing it the right way as walking in darkness and having no light. I spoke of this journey of faith. It says of that person, he's walking, howbeit at this moment on that journey, it's in darkness. And it has no light. I would have you all understand, as I have come to understand, that darkness is not a sign that we have been forsaken by God. One old saint put it this way: never doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. the result of God's word, or the designed result of God's word, is to bring us to faith. The Hebrews letter says, and the result of faith is God, excuse me, has put his seed or a portion of himself in us and has put us in Christ, but that portion that he has put in us, the Hebrew letter says, we remain the house of God if we continue as we started. We started by faith. We grabbed hold of the promises of God. God gives no description for this one who's doing it God's way as to why he's walking in darkness. He just says he fears the Lord, he obeys the voice of his servant, he's walking in darkness and has no light. He doesn't waste any time on the cause of the darkness. It's just part of the trip. Now, before we get into God's response, his loving response to this one among us who reveres the Lord, who is obeying the voice of his servant, who's walking in darkness and has no light, I want to go to the 11th verse where it says, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, and walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks ye have kindled, this shall ye have of my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Folks, there are natural responses to darkness. Now, I'm a smoker, and I always have my Bic. If you don't know what that is, it's a lighter, my Bic with me. And therefore, the opportunity to flick my Bic and bring light to the darkness is always available. What this 11th verse is saying, if our response to darkness is relying on purely natural means to eliminate the darkness, God's response is, this ye shall have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. But to those who fear the Lord, who obey the voice of his servant, who walk in darkness and have no light, here is God's response. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Let God's response is, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now, I have a little note written in my Bible. It says, most religions are built on rules of performance rather than trusting in the promises of God. And here God is saying, let him trust in the name of the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. Hebrew, that translates the Hebrew word Jehovah. This name which God reveals to Moses, I am that I am, Jehovah. Theologians, scholars have spent reams and reams and books attempting to define this name, Jehovah. It comes down most of the time to the self-existing one. Dr. Scott gave us a picture that I would share with you today of this name, Jehovah. And the picture is, you know, if you go out in your garden and take your garden hose and turn the water on full blast, and take your fingers and pinch that hose so as to stop the flow of the water coming out the other end. And as you grab and pinch and hold tight, you can feel the pressure building up in the hose, trying or desiring or pushing to get out. And in this name of God, we see, if you will, God constantly. He is letting himself out to us. And to this wonderful name, always when in Scripture you encounter in the Old Testament the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, it's translating that name of God, Yahweh, Hebrew, our English, we say Jehovah. But it says, let us trust in the name of the Lord. Now, I'd have you know that throughout Scripture, God uses or puts with this name, Jehovah, certain activities and or adverbs. And therefore, in his revelation of himself, through his names, they're not necessarily a definition of God, but they give insight into his character. And the names, by his revelation, offer us, whatever our darkness might be, an insight into the character of God wherein we can, through that name, lean with our whole weight upon him, or run, which is the literal translation of the Hebrew word hasa in this verse. We can lean on, we can run to this name of the Lord. Now, darkness, it's a metaphor for many of the things which we encounter on this journey of faith toward our home in heaven. I'd like to go through a few of these names today. And if any of you out there find yourself walking in darkness and having no light, perhaps through these names you would find comfort and peace and joy that you might endure the darkness in the light of what God has revealed. In Genesis 17, we encounter the phrase, God Almighty. The Hebrew being translated is El Shaddai. And by the gift of Dr. Scott, the best translation given to that name of God, El Shaddai, is the breasted one. And the picture it gives is that of a child to its mother's breast. All the nourishment that child needs, or that baby needs, comes from the breast of its mother. It is in that place where the child is comforted as well. It is in that place also that the child feels most secure. Dr. Scott, quoting another teacher of God's word, would even translate this name of God, El Shaddai, as the enough God. And whatever you need, God is enough. But God will, or does, bring it out of that generality, and he gives specific activities to his name. We encounter that name of God, Jehovah Jireh, translated, the Lord will provide. If your darkness is provision or the lack thereof, and you don't know maybe even if where your next meal is going to come from, if that's the darkness you find yourselves in, through God's direction, he says, I am the Lord that provides. Perhaps sickness is your darkness. I know I most recently suffered some infirmities that, the human nature was seeking remedies. But having been taught and having some of that teaching sink in, I, before I did anything else, I looked and grabbed hold of that name of God, Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, in this revelation contained in the 10th and 11th verse of Isaiah 50, God does not eliminate, take for instance, sickness. God does not eliminate going to doctors, and I certainly am not standing here saying, you know, I am the Lord that healeth thee, and I'm going nowhere else. You know, we have some denominations who forbid the aid of doctors. And some who, relying strictly on the name Jehovah Rapha, some have died or their children have died of things that didn't have to happen. Now, I applaud the faith, but, you know, one of those books that we don't have any longer in God's prospectus is called the Book of Ecclesiasticus, and in the 38th chapter, there is God saying that physicians like apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are gifts of God to us. It doesn't say don't go to the doctor, but what it says is if your darkness is sickness and you have no light, before you run to the doctor, run to God, run to the name of God and stay there. A name not very well recognized is Jehovah M. Kadishkadam, which means the Lord that sanctifies. In a little book I have called The Titles of the Triune God, in writing about this name, the Lord that sanctifieth, Mr. Stevenson says, what God requires, God provides. If your darkness is you're not feeling very holy, you're fearing the Lord and you're obeying the voice of His servant, but you're not feeling very holy, or by your friends and family and or associates, you're being attacked for not being very holy, it says, the Lord that sanctifies. I remember once visiting a man who happened to be a friend of my pastor's, and a longtime friend. And I'm sorry that none of you have the opportunity to watch the freedom that my pastor exercised. Look, he was a man. But a teacher of God's word like no other I've ever encountered, save perhaps the Apostle Paul. But he was free, and he did things that, you know, that which is recognized as the Church of God, just they couldn't handle it. And they thought, this guy is out of his mind. And this longtime old friend said to me one day, oh, I know what a great teacher he is, but Don, don't you think we need to be sanctified? And in that expression, he showed off his ignorance. Yes, in our relationship with God, we do need to be sanctified. God requires that, but what God requires, folks, be assured, He provides. If your darkness is not thinking, is thinking that you're not as holy as you should be, trust in that name, the Lord, that sanctifies. Another name of God, Jehovah Shalom. I would offer to you this day of October 2014, if one looks out into the world, wherever you are in the world, chaos seems to be the rule. From the Ebola virus to the activities of these Islamic extremists, to the political upheaval going on in former states of the Soviet Union, to the political upheaval going on here in the United States. Chaos. If your darkness is all you can see is chaos, that name of the Lord, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. The New Testament epistles, written by God's apostle, the apostle Paul, virtually every one of them open grace and peace. The world may be in chaos, but to those of you who fear the Lord, who are obeying the voice of his servant, who are not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ, wherein is the power of God to salvation revealed, God says, grace, unmerited favor, and peace. Best definition I've ever heard, cessation of against. Be assured, be confirmed, be comforted. If your darkness is chaos, you and I, through Jesus Christ, do have peace with God and are comforted with the knowledge that God is not against us. If you find yourself in a situation of darkness, and in your life there's no comfort for lack of direction, you don't know which way to turn, probably the most well-known of all the names of God is, not by its Hebrew name, is Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. In the scholarly presentations that Dr. Scott used to make when he turned lights on this Word of God, coupled with the Spirit of God, he said of this 23rd Psalm that it can equally be said, this name would say, the Lord is shepherding me. If you don't know, if your darkness is, you don't know where to turn, trust in the name, the Lord is shepherding me. If your darkness is sin, if you see it, or if others are accusing you of it, and it is perhaps overtaking you, and you're not sure how to do it, you know, in that darkness, most of the church says, okay, now come to the altar, get on your knees, and beg forgiveness of God, and vow a vow that you won't continue in that activity which the church describes as sin, that you won't, in your own power, that you make that vow that you won't do this anymore. You know, this is what's being described in the 11th verse. You're going to flick your own bick. You're going to walk in the light of your fire. God's response to that is that name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. You know, several years ago, there was a reasonably large movement in the United States. I don't know if it got outside or not, but it was called the Promise Keepers, wherein men gathered by the tens of thousands to testify as to what God has done in their life. And now, as a result of what God has done, they were going to be promise keepers of the Word of God. They were going to be covenant keepers of God's Word. Now, this word being translated righteousness, tzitkenu, its root is tzedek, and it's, when you encounter it in the Old Testament, it is translated righteousness. But what it has mainly to do with is keeping of covenant. And pretty much from cover to cover, God describes us not as covenant keepers, but as covenant breakers, because that's our nature. But God's nature is to keep covenant. And he says, he provides the righteousness that we're in need of. If your darkness is a sense of sin, is a sense of unrighteousness, then run to the name of the Lord, our righteousness. Another name that through God revealing himself we encounter in God's prospectus is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. If your darkness is such that you seem to be overwhelmed with a sense of aloneness, perhaps even a sense of abandonment, you've perhaps lost friends, or the Lord has taken loved ones away, and this darkness of aloneness is coming upon you. God says, I am Jehovah Shammah. I'm there. I'm right where you are. You're not alone. We encounter through Jesus a name of God wherein he tells us of God, our Father. And in one of the Gospels, Jesus speaking, saying, if you, being earthly fathers, know how to give good things to your sons and daughters, how much more your heavenly Father? For he shall not give a stone to those who ask him for bread, nor a serpent to those who ask him for meat. How much more our heavenly Father? The Creator of the universes, the one whom from nothing made everything. He is your Father, and he is my Father. who's among you who feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant and walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name. Of the Lord. We have this name of God. Jesus. The instruction was, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus is nothing but the Greek transliteration for the Hebrew name found in the Old Testament, Joshua. Now, in his desire for our understanding of his relationship, God gives us that story between Moses and the one who eventually is called Joshua. Because at first he was not called Joshua, he was called Joshua. But God, and Joshua means helper. He was a helper of Moses. But God says to Moses, you shall not call him Joshua any longer. You shall call him Jehoshua. A contraction, Je, for Jehovah, and Joshua. The literal translation is Jehovah, our helper. And we encounter now this Greek name for the Hebrew name Joshua, and it is Jesus. God, our helper. And God says, this is a name above every name. Through his revelation, those whom God has called and who are on this journey of faith, God has made available understanding of his character through his names, on which we can rely. I'm going to bring this to a close. In the first book of Samuel, in the 12th chapter, in the 22nd verse, it says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. God does things to protect his name. He's put out these names for us to rely on, to lean on, to trust, to run to, and to continue as we started to stay upon. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. So, to his people, whether in darkness or not, I say, let you trust, continue to trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon your God, because he has been pleased to make you his people. And that's the God School for today.